There is only one gospel. Every other gospel that contradicts the gospel of Christ Jesus is a human gospel that can save no one. Our gospel came from heaven. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome. We continue Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament epistle of Philippians today with his message simply titled, Citizens. Now, Pastor Bill.
This morning, as we look back into Philippians, of course, it is the epistle of joy, and it's one of the most joyful letters that Paul the Apostle has ever written. Remember that it was written from prison in Rome, but let's begin this morning as we look at our citizenship. Let's go back, quick review before we get to verse 27. Look at verse 12 with me. Paul writes, remember, and he says, I want you to know. In other words, he wanted everyone, all the church at Philippi, and anyone else, not to be misinformed. He says, I want you to know, brethren, and he tells us what, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul is writing, he's in chains and he's in prison. He's chained to a guard, as we learned a couple of weeks ago or last week. Remember, the word furtherance is a great word in the Greek. It's a dynamic picture of a group, an army, if you will, going ahead of another army, and they're going through an area. They're actually like pioneer woodcutters, and they are literally clearing a perfect path all the way down the road for the others so that they can advance without any obstacles in their way to take them to a place that they have never been before. And that's what Paul is saying to the church and to us. He says, listen, my imprisonment, my chains are in Christ, man. They're not in Rome. And he says, my imprisonment is actually advancing the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. The palace guard, remember, they're getting saved. Even Nero's household, many are getting saved there. So he says, my chains have put us and taken me into territory that I never thought that I could ever go. Now, with all that being said, whether it was last Sunday, I can't remember, or the Sunday before, I said this. I said, Calvary Chapel, our chains are not in this pandemic. We're not chained to it. We're going through it, and we're going to come out victorious. Amen? Listen, we're not chained to self. We're not chained to fear. We, as Paul, we need to say, like in chapter 1, Christ is our life. 121, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen? Christ must be our life if we're going to live through this world and live in this world. So we're looking at all that we're experiencing, like Paul was experiencing, just a few years from Paul's imprisonment, by the way, when he was released. 4 years later, or maybe 3 years later, you know what happened. Nero went crazy. He was crucifying Christians, killing Christians. Rome was burning. Well, we're living in a time right now where many things are being burned. Many things are being removed. Names are being changed. Do you understand? We're in the midst of a council culture, and we're in the midst of a horrific pandemic that is costing many, many lives. And we need to look at the time that we're living in right now. God is not surprised by it. We need to look at it as an opportunity from our God. Amen? An opportunity, how whatever is needed to not only push through, but Lord, to win the lost. I believe that verses 27 through 30, if there's a need or a today word for us, for the church corporate, for the church in the world, it's those verses, loved one. I don't know what's actually occurring right now, and I know what I'm about to say before we go into verse 27 is going to sound perhaps a bit strange. And you may be thinking, once I say what I'm going to say, that Bill, the cheese has really slid off the cracker. And that's okay, because it probably has, all right? But here's the thing. I don't know how to explain what I'm about to tell you. I can only share my emotional feelings about it. But I believe something happened this week. I believe there was a spiritual shift in the heavenlies. And I don't know what that means, but I know that I feel it. Does that make sense? I know we're not ruled by what we see or what we feel, the emotional makeup. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. But there has been some sort of spiritual shift. And it seems that there is a darker darkness that is approaching. And that's why these verses are so important. And it's interesting that there is an urgency in Paul's voice. An urgency as we begin in verse 27. Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That word conduct, we get our word politics or political, if you will, from that Greek word. What's interesting in the urgency of Paul's voice is this. Now we have just arrived at the very first command, an imperative in the Greek, a command from our Lord. He says, listen, your conduct, let your conduct, your attitude, that word actually means, loved one, it means let your citizenship, okay? It means let your citizenship be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a word and what a command. You see, the word conduct literally means this. Christians, behave yourselves as Christians. You live in this world. You live in this world as a citizen of another world. Isn't that amazing? That's what Paul is saying. And it's interesting that he said that to the people of Philippi, the church at Philippi, because you know that Philippi was a Roman colony. Man, that was a privileged status to be a Roman citizen. Amen? And they also knew if you were a Roman citizen, you had certain rights, but you also had certain responsibilities that they had to live up to. Now, with all that being said, that is why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, used that word conduct or let your citizenship. In other words, we are to live in this world as citizens of heaven. But listen to me now. But we are to live in this world not only as citizens of heaven, but with all the benefits that come with that citizenship. Does that make sense? In other words, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God who has pronounced each believer, each citizen of heaven, blessed. Amen? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have everything that we're ever going to need because we have been blessed by God with every blessing that there is. Does that make sense? That is our benefit, loved one. We've overcome this world. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen? We are more than conquerors right this minute, whether you believe it or even feel it. Do you understand? That is your right. That is your privilege. You are a citizen of heaven, and your names are recorded right there for you. Amen. And I look and I say, dear God, oh, how powerful is just that one simple verse. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, Paul says again, for our citizenship, our conduct, that comes right back to verse 27 here, our citizenship is in heaven, not here. In heaven, from which we eagerly wait. In the Greek, it could be translated, we are eagerly standing on tiptoe. What are we eagerly waiting for? The Great Tribulation? The Antichrist? The new president? I don't know where that came from. I don't take sides. Privately, I do. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are citizens of heaven, and we are waiting for our King to come and take us to where we belong. Do you understand? That means it can happen today. That's the catching away of the church, loved one. So let your conduct, your citizenship, you're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of the living God. He says, only let your conduct, your citizenship, what's that next two words? Isn't that something? Be worthy. Be worthy. You learn that word in Ephesians. Remember in Ephesians 4:1 when Paul says, therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord? He said, I beseech you, I beg you that you walk worthy of your calling from which you were called. Remember, the word worthy in the Greek is a picture of a set of scales. You know, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. Y'all remember that, right? In other words, you are equal in doctrine. You are equal in application, that the doctrine of the Bible. If you just hear God's word and you don't do God's word, are you balanced? No, you're not. You don't have a balanced walk, and you don't have a worthy walk. In other words, our conduct, our citizenship, however much the weight of the gospel is, it should equal the weight of our walk. Does that make sense? Man, listen, we are right now citizens of another world. And I say, oh God, you are so wonderful. We're citizens of heaven. Therefore, let us live like it. In other words, did you know the world can tell if we're a citizen of heaven? It's no different from saying, you know, you could be someplace and you could hear somebody talk. And you know, say you're in New York. And all of a sudden you hear someone from Texas. They talk and you know, you hear them. And you know immediately, you know where they're from. If you hear from someone, say, from Oklahoma, and they say something, you don't know where they're from at all. You know? No. Listen, in other words, the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we think, everything we do, what is Paul saying about our conduct, our citizenship? He's saying that if you belong to Jesus Christ, we should be showing the citizens of this world a transformed life. Amen? A transformed life. Man, listen, I mean a life that has been changed. We're no longer citizens of darkness. Amen? We're citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, remember, new creation, a person who has never existed ever before, that's what that word new means. Behold, old things, they're gone. They're passing away. We're no longer under the dominance of the wicked one. We no longer walk in darkness. Do you understand? We're sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. Old things have passed away. We're no longer an Adam, and all things become new. What a life that God has given unto us. And I look and I say, oh Lord, you know, the world laughs and mocks at believers who live like they live. Amen? I mean, they mock us. You know, yeah, they're lying and stealing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying anyone here is doing that, of course. But I am saying they mock it. And they see Christians living, you know, and we're the only gospel the world's going to see. We're the only one, loved one. The world mocks the Christian that lives like citizens of their world and not citizens of heaven. No. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:11, Peter says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, and those two words tell us that this place ain't our home, pardon my English, okay? I beg you as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having, here it comes, your conduct, your citizenship, your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, meaning unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, you're being watched in this world, amen, they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation, the day that you come close to them, the day that they're visited by you, the day that you share the good news to them. In other words, as we advance the gospel into places that we've never gone before, amen? Now listen, the word pilgrim in Greek, para, demos, para, alongside, demos, people. We are pilgrims, and here we are in this generation, at this time in our lives. It's not a mistake. This is reality, God's reality. Here we are pilgrims alongside a people that are lost, citizens of the world, and we are scattered like seed among them. What a glorious concept that is. Why? For the furtherance, for the advance of the gospel. But we're not only pilgrims, seed that's been planted beside the lost. We're also sojourners. The word sojourner means temporary resident. We are the true temporary resident aliens in this world. Think about that. More than that, we're living now in a post-Christian world. We're living in a world that calls evil good and good evil, that loves darkness and doesn't love light. Do you understand? Loved one, we are citizens of heaven right this very minute. And I'm telling you, there is a shift occurring, happening. We need to be praying. You know, we need to discern the time that we're living in. We must understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen? What is coming? We're in the middle of this. Is there something else? See, you know, when I'm troubled in my spirit, I want to find out. And you know how you find out? You go to the throne of grace. You go into prayer. God loves you. Man, you seek and you shall find. Amen? Now, here's the deal. The church today, right this moment, and let's just leave out every other church and let's just us. Calvary Chapel, we must make sure we must stop living below our calling. I'm telling you, this is a today word. This is a prophetic day word. This is the true living word of God. I want you to picture this. When I saw this in my heart, I nearly didn't want to finish the sermon. What I'm about to tell you, I just wanted to just, Lord, this is deeper. This is deeper. Listen to me now. We are a part of heaven in this world. We're citizens of heaven. Do you understand me? We are part of a heaven in this world. Look, we need and we must start looking at ourselves, this church, as a small colony of heaven on earth, because we truly are citizens of heaven, which have been bought with a price. We are citizens of another world, a place called heaven, and we're living on a world that is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. And we are waiting right now. It may be today, it may be tomorrow. We are waiting for our King who has prepared a place for you and for me to take us home, where we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Listen, we are in the midst of a pandemic and we have to relaunch. We have to. That is the word for this year, 2021. We have to relaunch. We have to start clearing a path through this pandemic. Why? There's a lot of people out there that God wants to make citizens of heaven who are not citizens of heaven. Does that make sense? And that's what we're called to do. And here's the other problem, loved one. We cannot be idle forever. We can't do it. There has to come a time. Listen, I don't know when the new normal is going to come or when the normal returns. Only God knows that. So what are we to do? I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We must obey the plan of God. Here it is, verse 27. Watch it. Only let your citizenship be worthy, amen, Lord, of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you, now that's plural, it just doesn't mean one person, meaning the whole body of Christ, that you, here it comes, do what? Stand fast in one spirit. Number two, stand fast with one mind. Number three, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we are to advance, it doesn't matter, listen, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a persecution, whether it's a war. You know, we're so privileged to live in this country as believers, amen? It's not that way everywhere. We right this minute, if we're going to advance, God said, there's the plan, it's a perfect plan, and you can do it because by my grace and by my power, you have everything that you need. We must live like citizens, and as we do, we have to do something. We have to stand fast. It means to stand firm. You know what I mean? It means that we're not backing up. It means we're going to hold our position. It means that we're afraid of absolutely nothing. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're saying, no, we're standing right where we are. Why? Because the enemy wants to take, remember, we're pioneer woodcutters, carrying that axe, clearing a way for the gospel to continue on. That's every generation of Christians has to do this. And here we are, and the devil says, oh, I got to take that axe out of your hand, man. Or I want to make it dull. Or I don't want you to really use it. No, we have to move forward. And loved one, as we do, we're not standing alone. We're all together in it. Amen. What does it say? What is that? Just a scripture just popped up. Let me look. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, my longed for brethren, my joy, my crown. Here it comes. So stand fast in whom? In the Lord. That's who we're standing fast in. We're standing with the Lord, which means He is standing with us. And I go, oh God, you are so good to us. And we stand fast in one spirit. Now, listen carefully. This is, first of all, we're commanded to guard or to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen? And we are in unity. We're the only people, the only citizens really on this planet that can be in unity because we are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? So we're to guard the unity of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't, we're never going to advance. You see, boy, the devil, he doesn't want us to be unified. I'm telling you what, you know, his method is don't fight me, fight each other. That's what he does. His method is don't fight darkness, tear apart the light of the world. Amen? In other words, don't guard, wound your brothers and sisters who Jesus Christ died for. That's what the devil wants. But it says stand fast in one spirit. That's more than just the unity of the Spirit. It means that we can only advance in the supernatural power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how we need that. Listen, no religion on earth empowers their followers except Christianity. Isn't that wonderful? If the church today has anything to be ashamed of, if the church today, if we have anything to be ashamed of, loved one, it's not walking in the power that is available for us. Amen? Ephesians 3:20, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in you. Acts 1:8, loved one, listen, Jesus told us, he says, you tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from upon high. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it says, you shall be my witnesses. Amen? All over the world. That's what it's all about, loved one. And we can only advance also into new territory. No matter what's happening in our world, we have to advance with one mind. One mind. Listen, James 1:8, I believe it is, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? All of his ways. We can't be double-minded. We all have to have the same mind, loved one. Listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have, present tense, right this moment, we have the mind of Christ. Now, does that mean that we know everything that Jesus knows? No, it means that the Holy Spirit of God has opened up our hearts and opened up our minds to the realities of the Word of God. Amen? And we're growing in Christ-likeness, and we're growing in the Word of God. See, to learn the mind of Christ is to start living like Jesus. For me to live is Christ, Paul said. Amen? It's living like Jesus, acting like Jesus, reacting like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, loving like Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in Him, then we must walk even as He walked. Amen. Boy, listen, we're full of the Holy Spirit of God. We're full of the power of God. We have the mind of Christ. We'll learn the next time we're together in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, to operate that way. And the measure, loved one, listen, the measure that the church operates in the mind of Christ will be the measure of our advance in the world that we live in. Loved one, we are citizens of heaven. And you know what citizens of heaven do? It says that we do something together. It says striving together. Amen? Say that with me. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen. That word striving together, we get our English word from the Greek, their Greek word here in the Bible, athlete and athletics, okay? So we're talking here about if we're going to strive together, we're like Tom Brady. You know, I mean, I don't know anything about Tom Brady. I'm certainly not comparing the church to Tom Brady. I'm just saying, but we're like that. We're a supernatural football team. We will win the Super Bowl every time.
Pastor Bill will complete this message on our next broadcast, and we hope to see you once again. As always, we appreciate you spending some of your day with us, and we pray that the rest of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.